more to us, God. Don't take us out of the storm or out of the fire, but come in the fire with us or in the storm with us, God, and calm it, God. God, we put our faith and our trust in you today, God. God, that no matter what the situation or no matter what condition we're in, you know it already and that you've already healed it, God. You've already fixed it. The problem is over. So, God, we give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to try to, I am fixing to rebuke you, but I'm not going to rebuke you. But we're going to have to do better. We're going to have to do better with the kids moving, and because now we have some more little kids that are coming. And either we're going to have to start children church back up somewhere, or we're going to have to do better with the kids, because sometimes they're all over the place. You know what I mean? Amen. And these kids right here should be already teaching the new kids that come in. You know what I mean? And so we're going to have to get strict on them. Amen. And so Amen. You all can be... No, let's not be seated today. Let's go to John chapter 5. And we're back in this on waiting, amen? And last week or week before last, we talked about waiting was not only an opportunity for us to know, get to know God, to know his ways, to know how he is and his plan and his purpose, but we also talked about waiting was an opportunity for us to evaluate ourselves. And that's one of the problems that a lot of us have as Christians, is that we don't evaluate ourselves. You know, we're always looking at other people, and we're always looking at why this and why that, but we never really look inside of ourselves to get to know who we are and how we are. Because a lot of times the problem is not somebody else. A lot of times it's the problem is you. And when I was growing up, it was a thing, it was a little saying, it takes two people to argue, two people to have a fight. You know what I mean? And that's becoming real, because if you would just shut up or just humble yourself, then the other person is talking to the air. You know what I mean? So, and it might get worse because they're trying to get you to react, but you got to just humble yourself. And then you got to deal with all of those emotions inside of you that start boiling up. The anger, the resentment, I hate them, this, and I wish they were dead. You know how you used to say stuff when you were little? Oh, y'all didn't say that when y'all were little? I did. But anyway, you... Where does that come from? That don't come from the other person. That comes out of you. And a lot of times we're looking at the other person and we're saying how they are, but in actuality it's not how they are, it's how you are. So what I was thinking when I was thinking about this is this man, he's been here at the Pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and can you imagine all of the emotions that stirred inside of this man? When whatever season it was that the angel came and stirred the water, and then he's thinking somebody's going to help him get in the water, and the person that he's looking for, he probably been talking to him for a couple of days, and all of a sudden they go down and they get in the water and they come up healed and they walk out, and he was like, and that happened 1 year, and then the next year it happens again. And then the next year it happens again. For 38 years this happened to this man. Can you imagine the emotions or the feelings that this man had inside, what he went through? Discouragement, depression, doubt, unbelief, anger, jealousy. You know, I wish they were dead, and all kind of stuff was probably going on in this man's heart. For 38 years, because 38 years he sit here in this condition and he watched other people go in the water and come out and see you later, man. And then he's like, man, I thought you were going to help me. And then what about the ones that told him, hey, man, I'll be back next year and I'll help you get in the water. And then next year came and they never showed back up. And they never showed back up. And they said, man, they let me down. They broke my heart. But let me tell you something. He put his faith and his trust in the wrong thing. Even though he saw the water stirring, and he might have, I don't think they saw an angel physically come down and get in the water. And then maybe they did. But the angel don't make the miracle. The angel is not in control of the miracle. God is. So where he was putting his faith and his trust in people, he was putting his faith and his trust in the angel. He was putting his faith and his trust in the water. He was missing it the whole time. And Jesus is going to say something very important for us in here. When after he healed him, he's going to tell him, go and sin no more. Sin will always have you looking at something else other than God. Sin will always take your attention away from God, and you'll start putting your faith and trust in people. You'll start putting your faith and trust in material things. You'll start putting your faith and trust in yourself or your friends. And let me tell you, every one of those things, including yourself, will let you down without God. So let's get in here and let's read it. Amen? In John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, lame, blind, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season. Now, right there, that ought to get your attention. Some of us ought to be thinking, it's my season. It's my season. If you were reading this at home, when you got right there, you should have said, it's my season. It's my season. And let me tell you, everything Jesus do, God do, he do it in seasons. He do it in seasons. Summer, winter, spring, and fall. Everything happens in seasons. Let me tell you something. This could be our season. But it's real easy to miss your season looking at the wrong thing. It's real easy to miss the season responding the wrong way. See, it is possible. It could be your season, but you could miss it. Now watch this. It says, for an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred up the waters. Whoever then first, after stirring up the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Oh, man. It says, when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? Now, what kind of question is that? I tell you, God can go hard, right? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man. Underline that in your Bible if you write in your Bible. I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. You know what I would do if that was me? And I would just get in the water still. I haven't struggled all of this time not to get in that water. I don't care if Salathiel did get in the water. I'm still getting in the water because it might be just a little bit of residue left over for me. Y'all don't know what residue is, right? And look at what he says. He says, Jesus said to him, ain't it funny how Jesus don't get off into that he said, she said, they do this, they don't do that. He never get into that stuff. He just said, all right, man. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Now, that's the game changer right there. Immediately, the man, it really reads like this, but it's not reading like this, right? Immediately, the man trusted Jesus Immediately the man believed Jesus. Immediately the man trusted God. Immediately the man believed that Jesus came from God. And he got up, picked up his pallet, and began to walk. That's how it should read. But look how it read. It says, immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Let me tell you something that's happening in this wellness. His way of thinking is being dealt with. His way of thinking is being dealt with. Let me tell you, we've been on this for about 3 years. If your way of thinking have not been changing, you're not a believer. If your way of thinking about certain situations, if your way of responding, if your way of living life have not been changing, you're not a believer. There's something wrong with your belief system. See, watch this. It says, immediately the man became well, picked up his pallet, and began to walk. Now, it was on the Sabbath day. In other words, Jesus broke the law. Let me tell you, the laws belong to God, and he can do what he want to, when he want to, and how he want to. This is very important because from this time on, now they're going to do their best to kill Jesus. See, Jesus put his life on the line so we could be healed. Amen. And so we should be receiving our healing. Oh, man, that's important. Okay, let's finish so y'all can sit down because I know your feet hurt. Amen? It says, so the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, it is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. Now, I know they've saw this man in this condition, but instead of telling him, man, thank you, Jesus, man, thank you, you healed me, they finding fault in him. And sometimes it's just natural, something inside of us that unless our mind clicks and switch something on or off in our heart, we just see everything as negative. And that's what's wrong with the Jews. In other words, they're religious. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. Amen? But he answered them, he who made me well was the one who said to me, pick up your pallet and walk. And let me tell you something. If somebody made me well, I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do. I'm not going to worry about what all y'all got to say about it. And let me tell you, I have been in that position before. They asked him, who is the man who said to you, pick up your pallet and walk? But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Now he can testify. See, now when you find out who he really is, now you got some power behind your words. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, now check out Jesus. He said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. In other words, Jesus saying, I don't do what I want to do. I don't say what I want to say. I don't go where I want to go. I do whatever I see my Father do. I say whatever he say, and whatever he tells me, wherever he tells me to go, that's where I'm going. So if you got a problem with me, you really don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with God. And look at what happened. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, Jesus, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Amen? Y'all can be seated. See, first of all, this is a picture of how some of us come to church. It says at the festival of Jews, or at the feast of Jews, and a lot of times what would happen is everybody would go down, and this is probably around Easter time, the time of Passover, and they would all come down, and they would all go through these religious festivals, right? But everybody was there for religion. Jesus was there for people. And while everybody was there for religion, Jesus was there for this man. Jesus didn't go anywhere God didn't send him. So while they were there at a religious festival, Jesus was there about God's business. And this is how far the priesthood was off, that they were there having festivals and God was interested in people. And look at how it says it. It says that Jesus entered through the sheep gate. The sheep gate is the gate where they would bring in the lambs to be slain for the sacrifice. See, everything in this book has meaning. They would bring them through a certain part of the temple. And right up at this part of the temple, it was a porch right there. And this porch was called the Pool of Bethesda. And it says it has five porticos. Now, let me tell you why that's important. When they first built these porticos, when Solomon first built them, these five porticos were there, and they were beautiful. And they were beautiful because of the way the olive branches grew up on them. And what would happen is on the Sabbath day, when people did not go, when they could not work, what they would do, just like some of us, they would go to the park on Sundays. Y'all never went to the park on Sundays? Well, I don't do it, but we used to do it when I was little sometime, you know, when we would skip church. And so what would happen is they would go, and these things were so beautiful that they would just go and they would walk through these porticos and they would look at the beauty of them and talk about how beautiful they were. Y'all understanding? Now, this has been a place, after a couple of years, this is a place that was once called beautiful. And now it's disgusting because now here's all the sick, all the poor people, all the lame, all of those that are mentally challenged are laid down here and they're on the floor and they're crying out. It's still a beautiful place to God. What might be disgusting to us is beautiful to God. While those people are there in that sick condition, the very reason Jesus is coming is not to go to a festival. He's coming for those people. Y'all understanding? So no matter how bad your condition is, no matter how bad your situation is, no matter how bad off you think you are, the condition that you're in is what gets God's attention. And sometimes we feel like we're less than everybody else because I'm going through this. I don't want to be seen because I look like this. Or I'm going through this in my health or my finances or my kids. And all of us are trying to stay in the dark while God is trying to bring you to the light so he can do a miracle in your life so other people can believe. And nobody wants to be seen as sick. Nobody wants to be seen as weak, or nobody wants to be seen as mentally challenged, or nobody wants to be seen that we got family problems. But those very things are the things that God want to use to change your life. And we're ashamed of it. And let me tell you something else. This was not this man's natural condition. And I don't know where you are in your life, but maybe sin helped get you there. Maybe sin helped get you there. Maybe it wasn't your sin. Maybe it's because sin is in the earth is why you're in that condition. But Jesus is going to tell us something very interesting right here if we can believe what he's telling us. Let's get into it. Amen? It says, now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. Write this down. That place is known as the House of Olives or the House of Mercy. That place is known as the place, House of Olives. In other words, you know what an olive have to go through to get the good out of it. It got to be pressed. It got to be, the meat have to be destroyed so that the oil can come flowing out of it. Or it's called a house of mercy. Let me tell you something. The house of mercy means that you have God's attention and you didn't do anything to get it. If I was you, I would write that one down. Because a lot of times we think that it's something I have to do to get God's attention. No, it's God's love for you that gets his attention. See, it says, in these lay a multitude of those who were sick, lame, blind, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Sometimes you just have to go through a season of waiting. And this man's season just happened to be 38 years. You say, well, man, why would God let you suffer like that? So that you could learn some things. So that you could learn some things about what real life was about. See, we think real life is about us going to the movies and going to do this and going out to eat and having a bunch of fun. That's not always real life. That's not real life. Real life is getting to know who Christ is. Real life is getting to know who God is. Real life is getting to know how far you are off from God and working to get yourself closer to God. And how do you do that? By repenting. And how do you repent? You got to change your way of thinking. If your way of thinking don't change, nothing about you changes. And you can try to stop doing what you're doing, but as soon as something else comes up, you're going to go right back to what you've always done. You know why? Because you haven't dealt with yourself. See, one thing about it, nobody can change your way of thinking. Watch this, Holton. God can't even change your way of thinking. God God cannot even change man's way of thinking. He won't violate your free will. He won't violate your free will. You have to get along with yourself and deal with your way of thinking. How many times do we have an opportunity to get along with ourselves and we turn on the TV or we turn on the radio? I might be talking to the wrong people. See, it's that time alone is for you to be honest with yourself. Let me tell you, if we can't be honest with ourselves, we can't be honest with nobody else. And the problem with that is when you're honest with yourself, you got to say, I'm messed up. When you get in there and you start taking a look at yourself, when you start really looking at yourself and you start seeing how you really are, you know what you're saying? Man, I'm messed up. I'm messed up. And the cool part about that being messed up is you can't fix yourself. The only one that can do it is God. But you got to tell him, God, I'm sick of being like this. You got to tell him, man, I'm sick. I'm tired of being down here waiting on other people. Wanting somebody else to help me out of my situation. Let me tell you, as any situation that God have you in, nobody can get you out of it. Oh, let me tell you, this man was in a God situation because sin put him there. And anytime you're in a situation where God have you in, nobody can help you out of it. And even when they try to pull you out, you get sucked right back in. You know why? Because God got, what's that, that Gorilla Glue? Y'all saw that Gorilla Glue? What they call it, Loctite. It's one that they got on there. So every time they try to pull you out, you just get stuck back on the wall even more. You know why? Because God is trying to get people to understand, hey, leave them alone. I'm dealing with them. He's trying to get you to understand, hey, leave me alone. God is dealing with me. I don't need your help out of this situation. I need God's help out of this situation. And look at what it says. It says, they were waiting. At least, it's something about when you're sick. And really, I've never really been a sick person. But man, here lately, since I've been sick, I'm starting to learn that, hey, sickness takes something out of you. Sickness makes you start thinking about stuff other people don't think about. You start thinking about your mortality. Hey, when am I going to die? How long am I going to live? What, you know, how is this thing going to play out? But sickness is not for you to worry about those things. Sickness is to drive you closer to God. Amen. And if it can take you closer to God, you got an opportunity to come out of whatever you're in. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But if you keep looking at it like, hey, man, I messed up. I'm messed up. Poor me. I can't get past this. You know what? You're going to stay in that condition. That's why that man was in that condition for 38 years. Because he kept on putting it off on somebody else. Whenever it was time to get in the water, I would have just turned myself into a little, what's that little bug that when you get ready to touch it, a roly-poly? I would have turned myself into a roly-poly and rolled into the water. But it was something about it. He was looking for Robert to help him out. He was looking for Billy to help him out. He was looking for Rayford to help him out. Let me tell you, the answer to your problem is not in people. We talked about that with Saul, because people will almost, I'm going to put it like that, almost, because not everybody will let you down, but people will almost always let you down. Even me and Larry, we tell, man, I'm up and I'm moving and I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back when spring comes, and I'm going to help you get in that water, man. But that could be my heart. My heart could be to help him get in that water. But when springtime comes, I could be somewhere else doing something else. And I could forget about the commitment that I made to Larry. Was it in my heart to let him down? No, it was not in my heart to let him down. I just got caught up doing something else. Do that mean that that's a bad person? It don't mean, but it's time to tell Larry, stop putting your trust in people and start putting your trust in God. So it was a lesson that God was teaching Larry by keeping me caught up on the other side of town. Oh. How many times have your knight in shining armor have not come through? How many times have your, what was her name? Rapunzel. Her hair wasn't as long as you thought it was. You couldn't reach it to get up there. Let me tell you, all of us have faced these things. All of us have been let down by people at one point. But if you would have taken it the right way, what people cannot do for you, God can do for you. See, look at here. See, the Bible is telling us that these people were blind, they were sick, they were withered, they were lame. You know why the Bible is telling that? Because it's telling us that those people in that day, they were not important. So what they would do, because they were eyesore to the community, is they would put them on Lancaster. Or they would dump them off on the south side. Or they would put them in those, what you call those houses? Like, me and Glenn was out here one day, and this guy came. And, no, not the bunkhouse. It's a new thing they got going on. Is they get these houses like the home, and they put these people in these houses that are mentally ill. It's like a group home. And they put these people in these homes, and they get a check for them, right? And I think they get a check like $2,000 for each person. And then this guy walked through here and he said, man, can you help me get some cigarettes? Because this home that I'm in up here on Baltimore, man, they got us living in there and they get paid for us being there, but they also take our Social Security check. You know what they're saying? Them people are not important. So you using people to get what you want out of them. Assisted living. And we can go open up one. We can open up one. It would be income for the church, but it would be outcome of God. Because, listen, those people were put there because they were no longer important. They couldn't add anything to society. They couldn't give anything to society. And when you can't give to society anymore, they try to put you over in a corner. But they weren't important to society. But they were important to God. Let me tell you something. Jesus had no other reason for being at that festival but for people. Because Jesus, and this is why, Jesus didn't do religion. Jesus is not even in religion. Jesus is not in religion. So don't go around telling your people my religion is Christianity. No, just tell them I'm a follower of Jesus. I ain't got no religion. Ain't got no religion. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's it. Amen? Watch this. It says, watch, it's getting good. It says, for an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season. Man, let me tell you, right there, if it's your season, I want you to just stand up right now. You got to claim this. You got to, this is my season. And then turn around and tell somebody, this is my season. Let me tell you, how can you be sure of it? Let me tell you, how can you be sure of it? How can you be sure of it? Do you feel it? Can you see it? You can see it. You can see it in here. You can see it. It's just something has shifted. Something shifts inside of your life, and it makes you start. Listen, when it shifts, this is what happens. So you'll know, this is how you know it's your season. When something shifts inside of your life, you can feel it, you know it, but the winds change. The winds change. Let me tell you, the way you see things change. The way you hear things change. The way you see things change. The people you hang around with change. You know, it's been a season. The wind is a, and let me tell you, Israel say it's a suddenly season. Listen, for 38 years, this man been waiting for the angel to come, and all of a sudden, the next minute, 38 years he's waiting for an angel, the next minute Jesus is there. It's a suddenly season. It's a suddenly season. Before you know it, it's just something have happened inside of me. I can't explain it. I don't know how to say it. And you want to tell other people, but if when you tell them, they wouldn't believe it. Y'all can sit down. You know why? You know why they don't believe it? Because it haven't happened to them. Even though Jesus is there and it's a bunch of sick people there, it's a shame that only one man is seeing him and having a relationship with him. Don't you know if I was the man on the other side of him, I would have been saying, man, who do you see? If I was blind, I would have been saying, man, who do you see? If I was deaf, who do you hear? If I couldn't get up to get closer, I would have got up, just drugged myself to get closer. Because this man is having a supernatural conversation with God. The conversation is not like nothing he's ever had before. Okay, well, let's get in. It says, for an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred up the water. So don't you know, this man was always looking at the water. He was always looking for an angel, or he was always looking for people. It says, after the stirring of the water, no, let's go back. It says, into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, whatever disease with which he was afflicted, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Watch this, write this down. He was probably one of the worst cases. He was not there because he didn't believe. He was there because he did believe that he could be healed. He just didn't know the healer. Listen, a lot of us are at church because we believe that being at church is the right thing to do. But being at church can't change you. An encounter with God can. See, he's there because he believed that he can be healed, but he just don't know the healer. See, when we come in here because we believe that it's going to do something in our lives. But we need to know the man that is over the church, the head of the church. It ain't the preacher. It ain't the preacher's wife. It ain't never been. Even though we honor them like it was, but it's not. It's another man that's the head of the church, and his name is Jesus. He runs the church. He determines what goes on in the church and what don't go on in the church. Let me tell you more than that. He runs your life. If you say that you're a believer, he runs your life. Instead of you trying to tell him what to do, you need to be asking him, what do I need to do with this life? See, our problem is we're trying to tell Jesus what we want done. And let me tell you something. Jesus don't care what you want done. Jesus only is going to do whatever his Father want done. And if you want something for your life other than what God wants for your life, Jesus is not in it. Oh. If you want something for your life other than what God wants for your life, Jesus is not in it. And let me tell you, if Jesus is not in it, it has no power, because the Holy Spirit won't empower you to do it. So you will spend all of your energy, all of your effort, all of your time struggling to do something that you, and you might, it might cost you your life doing it. But if Jesus was in it, you would be empowered to do it. Okay, once. Okay. It says, a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And how long have we been waiting for a move of God? And the first thing we do is get impatient. Just like the people that were with Saul. They waiting on Samuel to come, and Samuel don't show up, and the first thing they do is start taking off. They say they start going to hide in pits and caves and thickets. Let me tell you, you know what they did? They just walked out of God's plan for their lives. See, write this down. Impatience will always have you walk out of God's plan for your life. You know why? You know why? Because you can't wait for you to change. Ooh. If I was you, I would write that one down. Because you can't wait for you to change. You got to change your outlook. You got to change your way of thinking. You don't do what you want when you want to. God don't do what you want when you want to. He do what he want when he want to. And what we need to do is get on the right page with God and start doing what God want when he want us to. Not what we want to do when we want to. But we were raised like that. That if it ain't my way, it's the highway. And I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. You know what that says? That's a person that don't know authority. It's a person that don't know authority. That they don't recognize authority. And if you don't recognize authority, you can't obey authority. Because you don't understand the language of authority. God is a God of authority. Everything that he does it with authority. There's headship. There's somebody there that runs the show. And whenever you're against the person that runs the show, and in our case, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit runs the show. And whenever we're against the person that's running the show, we're breaking the law. Maybe that's what this man's sin was. Maybe that's what this man's sin was. We don't know. Didn't say he was alcoholic. Didn't say he was a drug addict. Didn't say he was a prostitute or adulterer. It didn't say any of those things. It just said he was in sin. And let me tell you what sin is. It's doubt and unbelief. So no matter what you do, the cause of it is you don't believe that God told you it's wrong. And so therefore, you don't believe its consequences. Y'all understand? See, when Jesus saw him laying there, see, Jesus knew he was coming there for a reason. And some of y'all are saying, man, I can feel God in here. Well, God is in here. God is in here, but he's here for a reason. And whenever he sees somebody that and he know who God want to deal with. See, the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And Jesus, when he's walking around in here, he knows exactly who God wants to deal with and how he want to deal with them. And so today, God is asking, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And like I said, that's a crazy question to ask somebody that's been sick for 38 years. But let me tell you, it's two reasons he asked him that question. The first reason he asked him that question was to restore hope in him. Because the man had probably been laying there for so long, he had forgot why he was there. Man, I'm here because I believe I can be healed. So Jesus, the first reason he asked the question, do you wish to get well, is so that the man can to restore hope inside of him. This is somebody that recognizes my condition. And what I would have been thinking, and I'm not, I would have been thinking, this guy is going to help me get in the water. Because he's interested in my condition. Listen, I would have been thinking, this dude going to help me get in the water. He's interested in my condition. So he's saying, do you wish to get made well? So the guy starts having hope again. And he said, man, maybe this guy's going to get me in the water. And the second reason that he asked him the question, so that the man could get his eyes off of the water, off of the angel, and off of other people. See, the water represents his miracle. The water represents his miracle. The people represent the vehicle to get him to the miracle. Oh. The angel represents mercy. Jesus is all of those things wrapped up in one. So Jesus asked him that for two important reasons. One, to get his eyes off of the water, off of the angels, off of people, and get his attention on him. See, you can never get your miracle or you can never get your breakthrough season unless your eyes are fixed on Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can do miracles. Jesus is the only one can heal. Jesus is the only one can restore. Jesus is the only one that can turn your life around. He got to get your attention off of everything else. Maybe that's why some of us are in the condition that we're in. Unless you were in the condition that you're in, there's no way that God could get your attention. You're too busy for him. You're too busy hanging out with your friends. You're too busy focusing on the miracle and not the person of the miracles. So some of us, we've skipped all over Jesus. We've skipped over the Holy Spirit. And we just got a picture of this wonderful life that we want to be living. The life might be there. It ain't there without Jesus. You can't have it without Jesus. You could even get the house you want, the cars you want, the perfect little family with the white picket fence that you want, but without Jesus, you'll never enjoy it. You can't rest. You can't do it without Jesus. None of it. Watch this. Jesus asked the man. It says, when Jesus saw him laying there, and knew that he had already been there a long time. You know what God is telling him? It's time for him to come out of that condition. Okay, you were in that condition because of sin. It's time to come out now, son. He said, do you want to be made well? This is where your thinking changes. This is where your thinking changes. This is where our thinking has to change. If you don't think different, you don't get anything different. And then look at what Jesus tells him. It says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man. I don't have nobody to help me. There you go, feeling sorry for himself again. How many of us get like that sometimes? Like, man, I need somebody to help me with this. I need somebody to help me with that. Let me tell you, I was faced with one of those situations last week that somebody made a promise that they were going to do something. And man, and then right when it was time to do it, then the guy was like, man. And I mean, I'm financially in a position where I don't have a choice. I got to do it. And the first thing I did is, guess what I started thinking? Man, I'm going to call the guy and ask him, man, are you going to? And then that was my way of thinking. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. God, you're going to have to help me with this one, man. You're going to have to help me with this one. And watch what happened. Look at what he said. Man, this stuff is something else. He says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And then look at what he says. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Let me tell you, the same people that you're looking for help, they need help. The same people that you're looking for to help you get you down in the water, y'all all there because you're sick. Why would I help you get in the water before I got in the water? Because that's the godly thing to do. Well, why don't you help somebody get in the water? Maybe if he would have been more interested in helping somebody else get in the water than him getting in the water, maybe God would have healed him. We don't know. But he said, man, when I'm going down to get in the water, another goes down before me. What do you expect? If I got an opportunity to have a surgery before Emmanuel had a surgery, guess what I'm going to tell the doctor? I need to get my surgery. If you need a kidney transplant and I need a kidney transplant, are you going to give up your transplant for me? Now that we're Christians, we would. Maybe. Maybe. But when you wasn't a Christian and you were really sick and you got to go on dialysis every day, that changed the game. See, we can say it sitting here and you don't have to go through the dialysis. You don't have to go through all of the pain. You don't have to drag yourself out of dialysis to home and you got to lay down and get you something to eat and you don't have no energy and you're sick, you can't move. You can say, I'll give a kidney. But if you're that person that's in dialysis, I don't know about it if I can give a kidney. I ain't going to even tell that lie. I don't know if I can get a kidney in the first place. I need help. I need my own kidney. I need a kidney transplant. Why would I let you go first? And then even if he understands this, that Alan said he was going to help me get in the water, but he got in the water. You ought to be happy that Alan got in the water. You ought to be happy your friend got healed. You ought to be happy they have something you don't have. But look at what happens right here. Jesus get through all of that. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Let me tell you, if it's your season, I want you to get up, pick up your pallet, and begin to walk. If you don't even have a pallet, just act like you got a pallet. Pick up your Bible, because it's been carrying you all these days. And just walk around this place. You know what? You got to tell him. Help Miss Rosalinda get around, go around one time in a wheelchair. It's my season. You know you're not going to live like it when you go home. You might as well do it while we're in here. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? person in front of you, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. It's in the air. I believe it. I'm going to be made well. I'm going to be made well. I'm going to be made well. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Now you believe it, and now you received it. See, let me tell you something. The bad condition or the bad circumstances or the bad situation you're in, it's gotten God's attention. Let me tell you. The condition, situation, wherever you are in your life, whatever you were believing him for, it's gotten God's attention. You know how I can say that so confidently? Because he gave us his word. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the word. And it also tells, and nothing was done without him. So if he gave us his word, which is his son, Jesus, yet Jesus is the word. That's why you got to read the word so you can get to know Jesus. And if he give us his word and we receive the word, then we receive the answer to everything that we need in life. Look at what he says. Your bad condition gets God's attention. So when you're trying to hide and you're trying to feel like you're less than everybody else, you ought to feel like you're privileged. I'm privileged because I have God's attention. And let's go so we can finish. The Cowboys play today, amen? And the reason I told y'all to get up and walk is because, watch this. It says immediately. It didn't say he waited till he got home. It didn't say he waited till his family came and picked him up and took him to Sunday dinner. It says immediately. He heard Jesus. He received the word. He believed the word, and let me tell you, write this down. The strength comes in your belief. The strength comes in your belief. This man had been there 38 years. Don't you know he had lost all of his muscles in his legs? If you lay down for 1 month, you're going to have to go to a rehab, brother. This man been there 38 years. And when he believed God, somehow he miraculously got strength. And he stood up and he picked up his pallet. And he, listen how powerful Jesus is. Not only did he stand up and start walking, he stood up and bent over. You know what Jesus was telling him? Now you can be flexible in your lifestyle. But immediately when he believed him, he received strength. Then he got up and picked up his pallet and he began to walk. Let me tell you, it's all in what you believe. It's all in what you believe. If you believe God, then you can receive the miracles of God. If you don't believe God, you just don't believe him. You just don't believe him. Let me tell you, and it's okay to be a Christian and not believe God. It ain't okay to be a follower of Jesus and not believe God. It's okay to be a Christian and not believe Jesus. Those are the ones that put him on the cross. It ain't okay to be a follower of Jesus and not believe God. And sometimes it happens. Peter was a follower. He denied him 3 times. The rest of the disciples, when they came to get him in the garden, they all dispersed and took off running. But at some point, you're going to have to grow up. And they grew up when they went back to their old lifestyle. They were trying to fish. And all of a sudden, they saw Jesus in a whole new light. While they were trying to fish, Jesus was there cooking them breakfast. Jesus hadn't been fishing or anything. But you know one thing I saw in there? Jesus had everything that they were looking for. when they got to the shore and ate with Jesus that day, their lives were never the same again. Let me tell you something. Today, are you going to eat with Jesus? Today, are you going to eat with Jesus? Are you going to receive this word? Are you going to believe this word? Or are you going to go back to doing what you've always done? If you receive your healing, you're going to have to walk in it. If you receive your healing, you're going to have to walk in it. If you receive your healing, you're going to have to walk in it. And man, let me tell you, he didn't even know who Jesus was, but he believed him. See, it's not, you don't have to know all the scriptures. You don't have to know all of the religious rituals that we go through. You don't have to know all of the songs that we play and sing. But one thing you got to do, you got to believe it. You got to believe him. And I don't know who he was, but he told me to pick up my pallet and walk. And I picked it up and I started walking. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears to him again. And Jesus appears to him this time in the temple. See, the first time he got his physical healing. The first time he got his physical healing. The next time Jesus appeared to him, he got his spiritual healing. Oh, if I was you, I would have wrote that one down. The first time he got his physical healing. So God is interested in your physical condition. But the next time he appeared to him, he got his spiritual healing. He told him, you know what? I know who he was now, Larry. I know who it was that delivered me from crack cocaine. I know who it was that delivered me from heroin. I know he delivered me from cocaine. I know he delivered me from alcohol. I know who it was now, Holton. It was Jesus. The one you're talking about is Jesus. Jesus told me to go against what you're saying and what you're doing. It was Jesus. See, now, once you believe and you start to walk in it, now you got to testify for the Lord. Now you got to testify for the Lord. You got to tell somebody about Jesus. That's your responsibility. You know why? Because they want to know what changed you. What changed you? What changed you? And watch this. And last but not least. Verse 18. It says, for this reason, therefore the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. Listen, they're willing to break the sixth commandment to justify or to discipline Jesus for breaking the fourth commandment. So they're willing to break a commandment because he broke a commandment. Now, if they're going to kill him, who's going to kill them? Right there where you are, let's stand. I'm saying that verse 18 for this. Jesus died. Jesus put his life on the line. Jesus died or put his life on the line so that we could receive our healing. Jesus put his life on the line or died on the cross so that your condition could change today. So that you could receive your healing. I don't know who God is dealing with in here. I know he's dealing with me. And I receive it and I believe it, Lord. But if it's you, I'm going to ask you to come up to the altar. If you believe it, let me tell you, if it's not your season, if it's not your suddenly season, then don't come. Then don't come. Just start the music and then come. If it's not your season, don't come. But if it's your suddenly season, if all of a sudden, and you're starting to see this thing put itself together. I don't care with people leaving the church, going to other churches or doing whatever, not showing up. Some of them didn't show up because they had family functions. Some just don't show up because they don't show up all the time. That's just it. But get your eyes off all of that. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of the water. And put your eyes on Jesus. And say, Jesus, I understand that the grace was that I stood up. But the mercy was that God had already sent you before the foundation of the world. And it was nothing I could do to deserve it. I receive it, God. I receive the miracle. I receive the blessing. I receive the condition change. I receive what I'm believing in for, God. So now I know that I'm empowered to get up and walk. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk believing that you love me, that you died on the cross, so that no matter what condition I'm in, it's always changing. And I believe that my season has changed because I recognize the winds of change. Something different has blown into my life. And I believe it's you, God. I know it's you. And I receive you.
Your loving
in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Me. Your tender mercy.
Jesus. This altar call is not only about coming to the pool, but it's about those who are not able to make it to the pool. Put your faith in God for those who are not able to get in. Your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. The lost. Those who have never even encountered Christ because they refuse to. Lord Jesus, we lift you up. This is your moment.
Your tender mercy.
In your spirit,
I see.
Pull someone with you into the pool, into the presence of God, into the heat and power of God. Take your eyes off of the things that can't do anything for you. Yes, Jesus.
Providing for me, great is your mercy. Towards me, great is your grace.
Great is
your
mercy. Towards me. Just lift up your hands in a sign of surrender. I surrender, God. I surrender. I know it's you. I know it's you. I know it's you, God. I receive it, God. I receive it, God. I want to walk in a new life, God. I want to walk in the light of Christ, God. I don't want to go backwards anymore. I'm tired of this vicious cycle. I've been there for 5 years. I've been there for 3 years. I've been there for 10 years. I've been there for 20 years. 38 years. This man has been there for 38 years. And you think you're going through something. You're not going through anything. God is just trying to work on you. He got to get some stuff out of us because he got to put something new inside of us. He want to get all that dirt out of us because he want to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He want us to walk with him, talk with him, pray with him. He want us to stay with him. He gets some things out of us. Say, I receive my healing, God. I receive my cleansing, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for every problem that you put in my life, God. All you were doing was raising me up. All you were doing was molding me and shaping me, God. I didn't recognize it at the time, but I see it clearly now, God. For 38 years, he was down there. And every time winter came, he thought, this is my season. And then spring would come, and he would say, this is my season. And then fall would come, and he would say, this is my season. And then it was summer, and he would say, this is my season. And all of a sudden, he recognized all of those seasons were in one person. It was in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for the setting me season, Lord. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself looking up at Jesus. You'll find yourself looking up at Jesus. The Bible says he's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He already got your life figured out. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to work so hard at it. Thank you, Lord, that it's already done. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Today you can walk with Jesus. Today you can walk with Jesus. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. It's time to get up. It's time to move forward. Thank you, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. It's your grace. It's your mercy. It's your mercy. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to work to pay for it, Lord. It's free. All we have to do is open up our hearts. All we have to do is open up our hearts. Today is some open hearts in here, God. We're your people. We're your people. We believe in you. We trust in you. We're putting our faith in you, God.
Your loving kindness towards
and if every Job said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, even if he snatched breath out of me, I still trust him. Even if I die tonight, I still trust you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Even if the world stops spinning, I still trust you, God. Thank you, Lord. Even when the car don't start, I trust you, God. Even if the lights go off, I still trust you, God. You're in control. Nobody controls me. You're in control of everything, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank
glory,
you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to wait. We don't mind it, God. See, the miracle can be there, but you still got to be waiting. Because once the miracle happens, it's still glory, some Jesus. More stuff that has to take place. It ain't over with. It ain't over with. You got to still,
hallelujah,
now
Jesus.
You got to learn how to move forward with
yes,
him.
Jesus.
You got to learn how to hear his voice. You got to learn how to obey him. Because a lot of times you can hear something that don't mean you obey it. See, a lot of times we hear something. We hear the word of God. And we'll walk out of here and go do it what we have always done. You cannot hear it and not obey it. You got to obey it. If you want it to produce in your life, you have to obey it. See, I could say I believe it and not obey it. But it cannot get deep down in your heart and in your spirit and you not obey it. Once it gets in your spirit, even when you don't want to obey it, even when you don't want to obey it, even when you don't want to obey it, when it gets down in your spirit, it just starts to pull you. It just starts to pull you. It tells you what to do. It tells you what to do. You don't tell it what to do anymore. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ain't going to do what you tell him to do no way. He's only going to do what God tell him to do. And that's what he's trying to get you in a condition to just do what God tells you to do. He's trying to get all of us into that condition. Just do what God say is right. And let God run your life. Let God direct you. Let God order your steps. But you cannot do it unless you walk out of these doors with a changed mind. Say today, God, I'm changing it. I'm changing it. I'm changing my mind, God. You got to confess it. You got to open it up your mouth and let it out. If you begin to say it, you'll begin to believe it. If you don't say it, you won't. If you begin to say it, you got to open your mouth and let some of this stuff out. You know what you're doing? You're speaking it so that the enemy hears it. And you can't defeat the enemy. So God has to back you up. Lord, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you're going to do it. You've already gave us your word, God. You've given us your word, God. Our problem is we're impatient people, God. We want you to do what we want done. But we don't want to do what you want done, God. So, God, I ask that you forgive me for that, Lord.
I'm going to wait on your way.
And I can't speak for everybody, God. But I can speak for me. If you would give me one more chance,
because
God,
I know you're coming after while.
To hear you, to
so
see
I
you,
don't even mind
to be involved with what you're doing. God, I'll obey, God. I'll obey. It's not for me, God. God, whether it's my family, whether it's my church, God. to honor your plan for all of our lives, God.